Welcome to the Living a Naturally Healthy Life podcast with Delaine ND, the podcast for people looking to correct chronic illnesses such as diabetes through lifestyle change. I'm Dr. Delaine Vaughn. As a physician, I see many patients who are ill because of lifestyle decisions such as food choices. Typically, diseases such as diabetes are managed with pills or injections. This approach creates a vicious, expensive, and unhealthy cycle of medication and then more medication to address the negative side effects. As a physician and a life coach, I work with clients to resolve their diseases, get off their medications, and live a naturally healthy life. If you don't like the healthcare system in America, I recommend you use less of it by being naturally healthy. So if you feel there has to be a better, more natural way to live a healthy life, you are in the right place. Hello and welcome to the Living a Naturally Healthy Life podcast with Delaine MD. I'm your host, Dr. Delaine Vaughn. I hope everybody's having a great week. I'm recording this podcast at a little different time. You can probably hear my dog in the room with me. Hopefully she'll lay down here in a minute. But I had a free hour and I thought I'll get this done early so that I can have some free time in the weekend. So today we are going to be talking about getting granular with your plans. Lots of times folks will find that they set a goal or they set a New Year's resolution, right? Lots of folks are experiencing this exact phenomenon with their New Year's resolution. They set a goal, they set a resolution, and they find that they either struggle to stick to it or they can't even get started with it a lot of times. So I want to talk to you about, one, how you overcome that, and two, why does this happen? So what this frequently looks like is you make a plan. So maybe that plan looked like, come January 1st, I'm going to get fit. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to work out more. A lot of times, a lot of people, this is as far as it goes. That is the resolution. And what happens is there's not nearly enough structure with the goals, with the resolutions. What does it even mean to get fit? Or how much weight do you want to lose? Or what does it mean to work out more? Sometimes people will progress on farther than just that basic plan and be like, oh, I'm going to go to the gym more. I'm going to eat less junk food. But it's still this very vague action plan. It's so vague that frequently you're going to be like, oh, I can do it next week. I can start next week. I'll do more next week. And of course, that plan fails from the beginning. It was never given a good backbone in the first place. Another way this looks is you make a plan, and maybe you make a good plan, a clear plan, and you start implementing it, but you find that you fall off. You stop doing it. You really wanted to do whatever the plan was forever, but here you are skipping workouts, eating off-plan foods, and of course, you don't reach your goals that way. So I want to take this opportunity to have everybody, if you haven't listened to podcast number 22, that's the podcast I did at New Year's. I did it on New Year's resolutions. It really talks about how to establish goals and resolutions, how to really vet them out, develop them, make them very clear, how to look at your obstacles, and then how to implement the resolution, how to execute the goals. So if you haven't listened to that, go back. It's a step-by-step process that will walk you through how to do it. But today, I want to talk about what it looks like to take a second run at it, when it's not working, when you thought you did a really good job, but it's not going the way you were hoping it would. So what does that look like? How do you fix that at the second run level? How do you take that second run at it? So first off, I want to tell you, I want to reassure everybody, because the question is, why isn't this working? What's gone wrong? Why am I not able to do this? Absolutely nothing's gone wrong. This is exactly how it's supposed to go. You have spent decades living your life doing one thing or doing things one way, right? Eating whatever you want to eat for whatever reason you want to eat it. Letting that primitive brain make all your decisions, making the decisions about how much you sleep, when you get up. Making decisions about staying up too late and watching things that don't really matter on TV. So you're sleeping as late as possible in the morning. You're rushing to get out of bed so that you're not late to work. You're staying up late at night watching TV that doesn't really mean anything to you, which of course guarantees that you're exhausted in the morning, which makes getting up for an early morning workout very challenging. All of this is that primitive brain, right? You've spent all these years allowing that primitive brain to make all these decisions based on what feels good in the moment and only in the moment. So what's gone wrong? Absolutely nothing. But you're wanting to know, why didn't your new plan have that stratospheric launch that you were hoping for? Well, because you haven't become that person yet. You're working on it, but you're just not there yet. So we see this all the time, and it seems really straightforward when we see it in other people. but it's hard to see in ourselves. So I'm going to give you a really basic example. When my 8-year-old thinks that he can drive a car, right? He's like, I watch you do it all the time. It looks super easy. I'm sure I can drive the car too. They don't realize that they just aren't capable yet at this age to drive the car, right? So they don't understand that they're not tall enough even to reach the pedals. And my 8-year-old son certainly doesn't realize that he doesn't have the experience necessary to drive the car. How do you get that experience? You only get the experience with experience. There's literally no other way to do it. You can't buy it. You can't borrow it. You can only earn it. So I want to take some time to talk about a concept that I learned and read in the 5 a.m. Club. I know I've mentioned this book on the podcast before, but it's a book by an author named Robin Sharma. And in the book, he talks about a 66-day minimum necessary commitment to build a new habit. And he talks about three phases that you go through. The first 22 days, he calls the destruction phase. You dedicate this time, or this time is used to break down your old habits, those habits that you must stop doing. So this looks like the habit of seeing a slice of pizza in the break room and walking into the break room to wash your hands, to get a glass of water, to do whatever you're going to do in the break room, and picking up that slice of pizza and just eating it. That is a habit that, of course, has to be broken, right? It's the same thing, walking by the candy jar at work and grabbing a handful of candy. It's the habit of sleeping until the last possible minute. All of these habits are things that you've been doing for your life, for decades in your life, I suspect. And there are literally neural pathways in your brain that make these habits seem almost automatic, right? That's why people are like, I don't know, I was just in the break room and I found myself eating donuts, right? That's because that habit of grabbing that food when you see it is so automatic that you don't even recognize you're doing it. And it takes time to break down those neural connections to break down those habits, okay? So the first 22 days are actually destroying those habits, deconstructing those neural pathways, okay? Then you have the second 22-day phase, and that's the installation phase. During this time, you start to build new habits on that neurologic level, right? You start to make new neurologic pathways. They start to develop to replace the old ones that you just broke down. In the last 22-day phase, you have the integration phase. This is when those new habits really become part of your way of life. This is just the way you do things. As you come to the end of that 66 days, that third phase of the 66 days, those new habits that you've made, that you've developed, actually become easier to perform than the old ones. It's easier to do the new thing than it is to not do it or to do the old thing. It's more comfortable to do the new thing than it is to do the old thing. It becomes automatic. How wonderful does that sound? That all of a sudden your new habits that are beneficial to you are going to be easier than the old habits. So here's the deal. Everybody asks, come February 1st, what's gone wrong? Why isn't this working for me? You're 32 days on February 1st into a new year. You're not even close to that 66-day phase. Nothing's gone wrong. This is exactly how it should be. You should expect that it's going to take time to change your habits. If you've been doing it one way for decades, you should expect that in a month, you're not going to undo what you've been doing for decades. You might even want to prepare yourself that even after the 66 days, that you find that it's difficult, that sometimes your brain slips back into the way you've done it for all the years before. It's okay. Nothing's wrong. It's just how it's supposed to be. These are just thought errors. These are just brain errors. It's okay. You just correct them and you go back to the new plan, the new habit, the new way you want to do things as soon as you realize you've done them the wrong way. That is what leads to it being easier. So maybe you've put a plan together. You feel like it was a good plan. You feel like you really like developed it. You went through all the steps that I recommend to develop it. And you've just had a hard time really executing the plan. So how do you fix that? For that, I recommend you get granular. And what do I mean by granular? I mean you get specific. If you think of grains of sand, they're all individual. They all come together to make a pile of sand, right? And that pile of sand can be useful. You can walk on it. You can do all these other things. But those individual pebbles of sand, those individual grains of sand don't do a lot specifically, right? That's what you have to do with your planning for your goals, though, the planning for your resolutions. You have to get that specific. You have to get that granular because it does do something for you. Together, when you put all of those granular steps together, they build this overall change in your behavior and accomplishment of your goals and resolution. So a lot of people start by making a plan, but they don't do anything more than that. So I always encourage people, you write it down. Seriously, you get it out of your brain and onto a piece of paper and write it down. You know how I say you've got to write your food plan down. And the reason you've got to write your food plan down is because if you leave it in your brain will be like, I'm pretty sure that we said eating more chocolate today was going to be okay. I think we should definitely do that. I know I thought about it. When you write it down, you can't have that negotiation going on. You know what you have to do because it's written down there. You know, in order to follow that plan, it's written down here. This is what you have to do. So write it down. Every night before you go to bed, write down what your day is going to look like. If your goal is that you're exercising more, every night before you go to bed, write down when you're doing that exercise. For me, I do my exercise in the morning. If you're not doing that, if you're doing it after work, then you write down everything throughout your day until you reach that goal. If you're doing an exercise or if you're doing a workout in the morning, that looks like I get up at this time. I use the bathroom. I get changed at this time. I put my shoes on and get out to the treadmill at this time. Or I put my shoes on and I get in the car at this time. I'm at the gym by this time. I'm on the treadmill by this time. I'm working out until this time. I get back in my car. I drive home. I get a shower, I get the kids ready, I get in the car at this time to drive the kids to school, whatever that looks like for you, okay? If you're doing it in the afternoon after you get done with work, then you do all of that. I get up in the morning, I get in the shower at this time, I get ready, I get to work, I get my work done between these hours, I'm off work at this time, and I'm at home working out by this time. That's how your initial plan may look, okay? You write everything down. But for some people, it even has to be more specific than this. It has to be at 5 o'clock, I'm in the bathroom. At 5:05, I'm getting my shoes on. At 5:10, I'm in the car. By 5:20, I'm at the gym. By 5:25, I'm on the treadmill. Sometimes you have to get really specific. And if you find you are not doing the plan, then you just need to get more specific. You need to get more granular with that plan. Because one of two things have gone wrong. Either you have not made the plan so specific that it is foolproof and you can't mess it up, or you really don't want the goal. Both of those things are things you need to consider if you're really struggling to execute your plans. So here's the thing, you write the plan down, and that's what it looks like for working out, right? If you're talking about an eating plan, then it's, I eat the chicken salad that I made last night and put in my lunch. I eat 2 pieces of dark chocolate that I have in my lunch. I eat the vegetables with the dip that I've already put aside for my lunch. You have it all pre-planned, right? Sometimes you have to get more granular than that. For me, I have to have it all pre-packaged. That's the way I've gotten better at it, at just having one helping. But for a long time, that was a struggle. Well, I said I could have chicken. Well, I can have 3 servings of chicken. No, that did not reach my goals. So for me to have it pre-packaged and just have one container, and that's how much chicken I'm having, was a lot easier for me. So sometimes you have to get really granular with your food plan as well. And then this is the part about it. You make a very specific granular plan, and then the key to it is you just do it. You take the plan and you do the plan. There's nothing magical about this. You will come across a day in the very near future where you do not want to do it. But here's the deal. You just do it. Thank you, Nike, so much, because that's really it. It's that simple. You just do it. You recognize with any great accomplishment in life, it does not always feel fabulous. You don't always want to do it. When you're pregnant and you're building a little baby in your body, you feel crappy sometimes. You don't want to do it, but you are making a life, so that's what you do, right? You're creating this little amazing miracle in your body, and so you do what has to be done, right? You're not out drinking down wine because it's so hard. You just do it. When you're getting your degree at college, that's not always fun. It involves failure. It involves going and talking to professors. It involves asking questions in the middle of a big class, and that can be scary and intimidating, but you do it. And you do those scary, uncomfortable things because you know what you've accomplished at the end is something that you've always dreamed of.
All of the big things in your life are like this. Marriage is like this. Parenting is like this. If you've ever built a house, it's like this. Planning a vacation is like this. Anything worth doing, anything really big that you do, takes an effort at some point that's not always fun to do, but you just do it. So how do you change and become the person that sticks to that plan, that sticks to the plan that they've laid out for themselves? You just do it. You just start being the person that does it. That's it. It's really that simple. Remember, in this period where you're doing these new plans, this is the part where you're breaking down old neural pathways and creating new neural pathways. And sometimes you have to be very specific to teach your brain how to create that new pathway. And that's why you get very specific with the plans. So you know when I'm making recommendations for the food plan, like I've talked about, you always write down what you're going to eat, what you plan to eat. You write down what you did eat. You do the same thing with a workout, right? If you're really trying to work out and you're having a hard time getting the workouts in that you want to get and getting the results from the workouts that you want to get, it's the same thing. What do you intend to do for your workout? When do you intend to do it? And then what did you actually do? So this is also very important for reaching your goals. But not just reaching your goals. This is important for you developing your self-worth. I know last week's podcast was on self-care versus self-sabotage, and this is kind of part of it, right? The amount of follow-through on your plan is directly related to the amount of self-worth that you have from achieving that goal. Every time that you let yourself down, that you don't do the things you say you're gonna do, you're chipping away at your self-value. When you make a plan, you make sure that it's something that you really wanna do. If you don't want to really do it, but you've made the plan and then you quit on yourself, you're just building evidence that you never complete the things that you start, which means the next time you try to start a new great plan, you're going to see all the times that you failed. So just stop failing. It's really that simple. Just stop failing. It's important that you're going to do this, that you continue to take new runs at this, that you don't just give up. It's important that when it doesn't work, and you're wondering what happened, that you just reconvene, you review the original plan, you make changes and tweaks where you need to, and you come at it again. This is what we call massive action in coaching. You keep taking action. You commit to taking action until you achieve the goal. It might take you 2 months, it might take you 2 years, and it doesn't matter. That's just what it takes. Sometimes it takes more than that 66-day commitment to get the change. However, most of us throw in the towel at 10 days or 14 days or 30 days. And that's where we're getting it wrong. What's gone wrong? Nothing's gone wrong. This is exactly how it's supposed to be. You have to keep trying at it. It's in that second 22-day period that it takes constant reevaluation to make sure you're building the correct neural pathways in your brain that are going to still serve your goals so that you accomplish your goal. So will it get easier? Yep, it totally will get easier eventually, but it's not going to get easier if you keep quitting on yourself. So just stop doing that part, reassess, reevaluate, and take another run at it. So I want you to see how this goes. This is certainly what we do when I coach with you. That's why my coaching programs are 6 to 12 months, depending on what your goals are. If that's something you think you're interested in, set up a free consult. Email me at delaine@delainemd.com. We'll set up a free consult, see what you can achieve by taking advantage of the coaching that's available to you so you can live that naturally healthy life that you've always believed is possible. See what it gets you. Try these things out. Let me know if you have any questions, and I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and share with your friends and family. Also, leave me a review. If you want to resolve your diabetes naturally without any pills or injections, I can help you. Visit DelaineMD.com for more information. Click on the Work With Me tab, send me a message, and we can set up a mini coaching session. You guys have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.